Welcome to the Liberty Advisor podcast. This is your host, Tim Pichot. What we have in store for you today is a client video I shot a few weeks ago giving a little market update. I think you'll find this to be incredibly valuable information. But first, just wanted to give a quick little addendum. One of the reasons why I'm putting out this video is because actually my throat hurts and I'd already made this prior to my throat hurting. But on October 3rd, we had Jerome Powell of the Federal Reserve saying that we are far away from neutral, meaning that the interest rate hikes would keep going up in a projected pattern. Then they also went on to said that they don't really care about the stock market. Then about a month after that, they said that we're actually close to neutral. So somehow on October 3rd, they were far from neutral. And then a month later, they're pretty close to neutral. Then Powell said, I believe it was January 4th or 3rd, said that the Fed will be patient, and the preceding Fed minutes basically came out and were like 100% tailored to make the stock market go up. But in my opinion, it's only a matter of time before the Fed eventually cut rates. I think this was all an illusion to actually, this is something I talked about in the Trump effect and why good news is bad news, and that all this was really for show, and that Trump's all the good stuff he was doing would lead the Fed to have no excuse not to raise rates anymore, and that would ultimately lead to the collapse. But I think now we are starting to see that the Fed is actually naked in this case, and they're damned if they do, damned if they don't. So at this point, I think the Fed Reserve cutting rates is absolutely inevitable. It's just a question of what the market will think at that point. If you aren't sure about how you'd play that scenario, how you think you should invest for that, you can email us at info@thelibertyadvisor.com or head over to our site and book a free 15-minute consultation at thelibertyadvisor.com. Click on the upper right-hand corner. There's a Work with Tim guide up there. But anyways, hope you guys enjoy, and this is for informational purposes only. Thank you. Welcome, everyone, and thank you for taking your time to attend today's webinar. And actually, right now, it looks like nobody is attending, so that's sort of a lie. But what I wanted to do is open this up to some first initial statements, and then I was going to open up the Q&A, but if no one's here, I guess this would just be a nice like dry run for a future one of these. And as we're still getting dust settled over here and with the holidays, still trying to figure out what's the best way to do things. Now, one of the things that I've come up with is I had a pretty good scheduling tool that I like to use, but I think I found one that is a lot better. So I'm trying to get to that right now. So I've named it thelibertyadvisor.com/client-meeting. And then if you guys go there, what you'll see is a spot where, hey, once we need to schedule client reviews. For some of you, it might be annual reviews. For some of you, it might be quarterly reviews. And some of them, it might be semi-annual reviews. But this will also be a good place if you've got a nice quick question for me as well. You can go over here. Again, we don't have anything else in December, so you can click on a time, put your information in here, main thing you'd like to discuss, cell phone number, and then what we'll do is we'll send you out a Zoom meeting so we can get do one of these. If you just prefer a phone call, we can do that as well, but just want to give everybody the option and just point that out. And now I'm trying to figure out how to stop this share since I've got like three gigantic monitors in front of me and sort of end up losing where the Zoom page meeting control was. There we go, stop share. It's on the other screen. But anyways, getting back to what we were talking about before is, hope everyone had a nice holiday season. It's been a little bit hectic over here. Unfortunately, Heather, my wife, had to have kidney stones removed, which was, obviously not the first thing anybody's to-do list, but, she is not feeling too well right now. So I've had to pick up the slack, taking care of herself and the kids. But what I want to start off with here is talk about the past few weeks. As we have seen, the market's been incredibly volatile as of late. And actually, we've seen the past couple of days some huge market rallies. The one yesterday really sort of surprised me as the market was down huge, and all of a sudden, next thing I know, it was up 200. So gigantic swing. I'm not sure what it's probably about like an 800 point swing or something like that. When I was in the hospital, I had a lot of time to check in this stuff. And, also quick housekeeping, I'm trying to figure out a way where I can have these get stored. Like I put them in a folder, then that folder gets into like a private section on the podcast that's only for clients. and do these more frequently. But, you know, the hard part is, you know, editing and getting it out. And yeah, you know, once I get a little bigger, I can have more assistants doing stuff like that for me. But right now, you know, having to take this big hit moving over here, sort of not at that point just yet. And so far what I've found out is that if I wanted to do it on the current podcasting platform that I've been using, Podbean, I'd have to pay like $100 a month to do that. And I'm pretty sure I can figure out a way to not pay $100 a month. So if you got, if there's any tech nerds out there that want to help me out, I've got, you know, I do have a birthday coming up, and you guys, any consultation, let me know how to do that. It would be greatly appreciated. And speaking of podcasts, if we go, if you guys go over to thelibertyadvisor.com, upper right hand section, it says podcasts. You can go subscribe to, it's like Podbean, mainly it's iTunes or Google Play is the main way people are able to listen to me. And we've done a bunch of them as of late, you know, as things have been heating up. It's just been a nice way to you know, actually, you know, market and then also you know, reach you guys as well. But a lot of you, I'm sure that, you know, all you want to hear is that you're okay, you're doing okay, and you don't need to know necessarily all the details. And other people would probably say, hey, you know, I would listen to something every day that you put out, even though I'm not sure if that's the case because no one is listening today, although it is, you know, super last second and right before, you know, the new year. So I'm sure there's a lot of stuff going on. But as we're getting to, you know, the past few days and we had these monster rebounds, you know, one thing that I do want to point out is that, I'm just trying to get the screen over here. One thing I want to point out is that a lot of this is predicated on, actually it's basically, you have the pension funds that when the stocks lost a lot more relative to the bonds, which is something that I was thinking that was going to happen closer to like 2 years ago, but you know, it's happening now. So I guess better late than never. When it comes to what's going on and how I had a lot of you positioned the past few years is, you know, right now, since the stocks have lost more relative to the bonds, what has been happening is it's the year end and the pension funds and a lot of the different investments, they have a certain parameter where they have to maybe have 40% of their assets in bonds. Maybe now they have 50 or 60% of their assets in bonds, meaning they've got to sell off some of their bonds, buy more stocks. And so what we saw was there was over a $64 billion bid order that was coming in to buy the pension funds the other day. So here we are, why are stocks soaring, $64 million buy order. And that's just, you know, a massive, massive tailwind that's hard to really, you know, it's hard to really get around that. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, the headwinds that are here in the market are absolutely numerous. Another thing that's important to point out is that many of the largest daily changes, positive changes, have actually been during bear markets. And the Fed never knows when a bear market's coming. By the time there is an official bear market, it's already, or recession rather, it's already too late, and we're already, you know, people are already down, you know, 20-30% by the time, you know, these jerks in power actually, you know, realize what's going on. We go back to, you know, October 2008, actually two out of the number two and three. So prior to 2 days ago, this was, and as a percentage, it was a way bigger move. But we're talking 11% up, 10% up, almost 11. So you had almost two 11% days in a row in October. And as we all know, things didn't bottom out. I believe it was like April 2nd or maybe March 2nd, one of those, where things, I believe the S&P bottomed out at 666. So amazing how they, you know, managed to slip in a 666 in there. And then on the Dow, I believe it was right around 6,600. So I don't know, you know, powers that be must really like, you know, stringing together a whole bunch of sixes. And so here we go. I mean, it's, you know, and just keeping moving down on the list, you've got, you know, a lot of them were 2018 biggest moves on a point basis, or 2008. So, I mean, is that saying that we're in a bubble now? I mean, that we were in a bubble. I mean, you've also got 2000, the year 2000, you've got the year 2009 in here. So all these different, you know, periods where we were in recessions have also correlated with some of the biggest up days ever. And they've been sort of, you know, sucker rallies. And we had the president also mentioning that it was a good time to buy stocks. We had, you know, the $64 billion buy order. So I wouldn't really read too much into this because we do have a lot of headwinds. And I meant to actually get to the headwinds, and for some reason didn't show this. Let me go and share the screen again. And so over here, we've got trying to enlarge this. The biggest headwind we've got going on are the central banks. Previously, you know, there were a lot of money printing going on until basically call it 2015. And then what happened is that when the Fed's program was going to end, then all the other banks decided, hey, we're going to introduce even more stimulus and steroids into everything. And that really messed up, you know, my prognosis, or basically delayed everything. And to the point now where there's actually selling $50 billion a month in bonds, and that's just the Fed. And, you know, that's a massive, and then this is also leveraged as well. So, I mean, you're talking that, you know, the $50 billion could really be $500 billion that liquidity is being taken out of the market. And that is just really, I think, way too much for anyone to overcome that. I mean, you take a look at this chart right here. I mean, it's very, very telling, you know, what's going on now. So if all this was designed to be to lift asset prices, I mean, I think doing the opposite should have the opposite effect. I don't think it really takes a rocket scientist to see that. But, you know, getting back to, you know, what the Fed is doing, you know, I'd also direct you to a podcast I did on December 23rd, where it talks about, you know, and this isn't has anything to do with any political affiliations. And honestly, you know, liberals should probably hate the Fed even more than Republicans. And unless you own the Fed, that then basically it's screwing everybody. But, you know, this is the real reason there's income inequality is the Federal Reserve. I get into, you know, it's like a 10-minute video, and then there's another 10 minutes at the end that gets into a lot of the podcast predictions that I've made on there. And anyone can go back and audit it for, you know, the past 2 years and see, you know, how deadly accurate I've been. And just right now has been when, you know, we're seeing who's left swimming naked out here as the tide goes out, as the Federal Reserve actually stops, you know, printing money and starts rolling balance sheet money off their balance sheet. This is when, you know, we're really seeing, you know, who's, you know, had things, who had their clients protected. And luckily, you know, you guys are working with an advisor who has had their clients be able to take advantage of what's going on by not losing as much money. And, you know, the reason why that's important is a lot of you might be thinking, well, you know, it'd be better to be making money. Well, yeah, but, you know, if you were in all the most popular stocks, you know, many of which that are down, you know, close to 40% when you're talking about the, you know, the Facebook, Amazon's, Apple's, Netflix, Google's, Google's not down 40. I think it's down 20, is, you know, the best out of all of them. And, you know, but the problem is if we had all this insurance on the entire time, we would have lost money up until then, that up until now, because those positions would have closed out unprofitable. And now that things are going down, you know, the best thing that could happen is everything's down 50, 60, 70%. And some of you are down maybe 10, some of you are down maybe 4, you know, depending on when we got into the option strategy, depending on how much money you have, depending on the reason I say how much money you have is, you know, you can't really do these option strategies for less than, you know, a $30,000 portfolio. So it's not like I'm discriminating and managing people's money better that have more with me or, you know, or anything like that. But, you know, this is not a time for me to go take a victory lap or, you know, tell you guys, you know, how smart I am or any of that. But ultimately, you know, it doesn't really matter what the score is at the end of an eighth inning. You know, it only matters what the score is at the end of the game. And I think a lot of people were taking victory laps, you know, before the Fed had actually, you know, gotten to the point where they got us off the drugs. And, you know, I want to see, you know, what we can do when we are off the drugs, not take a victory lap that, you know, we're only now taking, you know, not as much drugs as we were before. Kind of shifting gears a little bit right now, with Donald Trump taking credit for everything that was going on with the economy, I think he's really setting himself up to be that perfect fall guy where the Fed can sort of like absolve their liability for everything that's going on, for really, you know, causing this bubble. And unfortunately, you know, the president was making comments where he'd rather, you know, them keep the bubble going. And, you know, obviously, you know, he's in a rock and a hard place right now where, you know, if he were to actually say what needed to be said when he came into office, you know, that would have tanked everything. He would have gotten the blame, or he'd try to work within the system to buy us some more time. But all it is buying us more time. It's not actually fixing a system. So you can't fix a debt-based system by adding more debt. And I think that, you know, somehow, you know, it seems like a very basic concept. But, you know, I guess, you know, to all the Keynesians in Washington, that's not a very basic concept for them. So I don't think they're really keen to keep this bubble going right now for Donald Trump. They've really sort of jumped the shark, because even now, I think, you know, people 2 months ago who were criticizing the president for him criticizing the Fed, now even they're admitting like, hey, this seems kind of crazy what the Fed is doing. And so, you know, maybe he can get out in front of this enough by blaming them, which he's been doing. But I think he made a big, big tactical error by actually trying to take credit for this, because now he's going to take credit for when it pops. And if you get into this, I'm not going off notes with this part right now, but if you get into, you know, Andrew Jackson, you know, he had Nicholas Biddle as his Jerome Powell, but being the, it wasn't called the Fed back then. It was the second central bank of America, meaning that this is the third one that we've had. And Nicholas Biddle, what he did is he contracted the money supply, sort of like what's going on right now with the balance sheet being reduced, caused, you know, a massive calamity. And then the people were then going to blame Andrew Jackson and not the bankers. And if you're like a low-level banker, I mean, I'm not talking about, you know, your average, you know, rank-and-file person working at JP Morgan. I'm talking about, you know, central bank, IMF type level of bankers that I'm talking about. So, I mean, I don't go around hating, you know, the average banker that's out there. But what's really maddening to me right now is, you know, we had this opportunity to, you know, probably let the markets crash after Trump got elected, and that way, you know, the free market wouldn't have gotten blamed, even though it's not really a free market. And now what I think is going to happen is that this is going to lead to a socialist winning in 2020. So you guys can read into that, you know, however you want to, because it's going to be very apparent what is going on to the general public. I don't want to make this, you know, super political podcast, but obviously our client update, but obviously, you know, what the president does and what goes on in politics is affecting money. And this is very apparent right now, but I think the notion that's going to be out there is going to be, you know, hey, we had, you know, Republicans in, and then the economy went bad, then Bill Clinton came in and he, you know, fixed things. And then, you know, Republicans came in with George W. Bush, lower taxes for the rich. Now all of a sudden, you know, when he, you know, it was, you know, the Republicans to blame. And then we had Obama come in again, you know, he fixed things again. And then now, you know, those evil Republicans came in again and lowered taxes for the rich. And I think that's going to be a very hard optic to beat. You know, especially that's me with the media is going to be, you know, I'm not trying to give many ideas, but, you know, you can see this coming, you know, a mile away. And so for some of you, this might actually be very good news of, hey, now Trump's going to be out of there. So, you know, and for some of you, you know, and so I'm probably pissing people off from, you know, every end of the spectrum right now. I'm probably making the Republicans mad, you know, talking about, like this about Trump. I'm probably making the Democrats mad by, you know, bringing, you know, Trump up. And then I'm probably also, you know, making libertarians mad, you know, because, you know, libertarians like myself are probably the hardest people to please because there's even different ideologies and sects within that. But, you know, what we're doing with the Fed right now, it's sort of like, you know, alcoholic trying to get off alcohol or drug addict trying to get off drugs. You know, they need more and more and more to get that fixed. And now we actually are basically going, you know, cold turkey, and this patient is dying. I mean, we even had Richard Fisher at the Fed who, you know, when he left the Fed, the Dallas Fed a few years ago, said, you know, we stimulated the markets using heroin and cocaine, and now we're using Ritalin. Well, now we're not even using Ritalin. So, and this was the former Fed governor saying this, not Tim Pichot, even though it's something that I have said in the past. And when it comes to headwinds, you know, a lot of you know I'm a big avid cyclist, and there's this one app that's out there called Strava, where what you do is, you know, you can see who's had the fastest time on a certain segment. One of them, a few miles from my house, I've got a couple coveted segments, not very much. I don't usually go out there to get these, and got a lot of, you know, fast people around town. But if I want to get one of these, I mean, you've got to, you know, have everything right. You've got to have the wind going in your direction. You've got to be feeling good. But, you know, if you've got a, you know, a 20 mile an hour tailwind, you know, I don't care unless you're, you know, maybe, you know, Lance Armstrong or, you know, one of these few other very, very, very select people, you know, there's no amount of, you know, effort that you're going to be able to put in that's going to be able to, you know, if you've got 20 mile an hour wind coming at your face versus a 20 mile an hour wind, you know, from your behind that's, you know, helping you move along, it's a very hard thing to counteract. So, you know, I don't care, you know, if, you know, Jesus is elected president right now, it would be basically impossible to do something over the long term to actually get our way out of this current situation. And, you know, it is Christmas time, and it's important to note that he did, being Jesus, did go in and whip the money changer. So, you know, whenever anyone asks, you know, what would Jesus do, just remember going into a temple and flipping over, you know, over desk is not outside of the realm of possibilities. And this doesn't have to do with anyone's religion. You know, this is, you know, very powerful people that are controlling the economy through central banking, and there shouldn't even be central banking, whether or not they were run by good people or not. I don't necessarily think, you know, Jerome Powell is, you know, evil or anything like that. But, you know, what they're doing is with Trump right now, they've got the perfect fall guy for this. And there's, you know, several different ways that, you know, all of this really could, you know, could shake out what's going on right now. I mean, I think that, you know, one of the scenarios is the Fed says, you know, hey, you know, we're wrong. We're, you know, it's only a matter of time before, you know, we're going to start lowering rates again. And that I would expect would make the markets go back up, even though they're basically saying that things aren't going good. So it's this whole bad news is good news, and now good news is bad news. I mean, sort of a weird dichotomy that we're in right now. But then the other thing that could happen to really kind of get us out of this is all of a sudden the Fed says, hey, we're going to print, $10 trillion to, save us, or another central bank prints a whole bunch of money. And that could save stocks as well. Even though the bigger enchilada is probably what's going on in the bond market. I mean, the credit markets are freezing up right now. And that's a much bigger concern to me. And that's sort of, to people that aren't really in the market, they're not paying attention to that as much. But the credit market is much bigger than the stock market. And a lot of these big banks have these gigantic deals that, usually there's sort of like a middleman where they package the deal, then they go and sell off whatever crap they put together to like a Norwegian pension fund. But now, even that, they're having a hard time doing that. And they've got all these deals in their balance sheet that they can't get off. Seeing new home prices starts going down. And so these are headwinds that there's, temporary things they can do, such as repatriation of money to buy back stocks. That's again, a temporary move of something that they could do. Scenario is the Fed kind of keeps this orderly collapse going, and maybe we only lose, 5 to 10% of purchasing power per year, which, in other words, saying inflation. But the problem with that is you're losing 5 to 10% of your purchasing power. You're getting made more and more poor. And so what you're exposed to there is something called inflation risk. And by holding on to those bonds, you're also exposed to interest rate risk as well. And so as I'm managing your money, I've got to be, aware of, inflation risk, deflation risk, market risk. The longer you live, longevity risk, then is a risk multiplier. So the longer you live, the greater the chance that one of these other calamities could actually happen to you. Now, I mean, as many of you know, what I was doing ahead of time was, and for a lot of you, I had, because I was an honorable guy, we put you guys in annuities. And, even though annuities get, bad mouth, and believe me, there are plenty of bad annuities. There's plenty of annuities that are good for one person, bad for another. But for you, I mean, 99% of the time, they were the good ones to be in. I think there's very few scenarios where people actually got out of them because, I thought it would made more sense for many of you to stick in them. At least this is my clients that are closer to retirement or in retirement. So if you're, 25 years old listening to this, it doesn't really apply to you too much. But, but that was a big hit for me personally because, about $7, $8 million, now I'm not managing because they're in annuities and I couldn't bring the annuity book with me. And probably most advisors would be unscrupulous and come up with some sort of, song and dance of why you should get it over. And, and for me, I thought it was better to keep you guys in there. And so, for you guys, the income is there. If we print, $10 trillion and all of a sudden the market goes through the roof because we printed money, not because things are going well, then, I think many of you would then have your income get stepped up as well because it would be tied to the market, but it can't actually go down. Now, some of you who moved your money over prior to us before October or even, some stragglers coming in November, we got into the put option strategies where we used a small amount of the portfolio, probably 3 to 8%. The people that were in earlier probably cost them about 3%. People that are getting in now, it would cost significantly more than that. So probably about 8. But that also means that the people that were in it early also had their put options soar in value. Now it didn't, match it 1-to-1 because there was a certain cost to it. So it's like you've got like $100 deductible and, something costs and you've got like $110, damage to something. Well, I mean, you're still out, the $100 for the deductible, but if you're out, $10,000 and $100 deductible, well then now all of a sudden, it's a really good thing. So it's almost like the worse this gets, you'll be down a little bit, but not nearly as much as everybody else. And then we can then swoop in and buy back things that have depressed when the time is right. And my business partner, Kirk Chisholm, is the one who's actually kind of making those decisions. I'm an overlay on there and I could veto what he's doing. But for right now, I'm paying attention to some things. He's paying attention to others. I mean, I pay attention way too much. I mean, to be honest with you. Not paying attention is definitely not the fault that that I have. But why I thought that this strategy was important is because A, we got into it at the exact right time. B, I thought that, depending on what the central banks do, the market could have gone up another 50-100%. And it still could because the Fed could capitulate, or maybe, the socialists get in 2020 and we've got this, bajillion dollar stimulus program. Actually, bajillion would probably be, cheap. It'd probably be trillion, you know, and $1 trillion of worth of stimulus programs, and it could make the market go, you know, super, super high. And so having this strategy, which many of you are in put options that end in 2020, if the market is up big, well then great, we're up big. If the market's down big, we're only down a small amount. And if the market, you know, is flat, then we're going to be down minus the price of the put option. And, you know, so sort of, you know, there's a lot of ways that this could shake out. I've spent a lot of time trying to figure out how this could shake out, you know. I mean, and for a while I was very, very nervous, and now I'm not. I mean, there's nothing I'm really nervous about other than, you know, the fact that I did, you know, set myself back a little bit having to make, you know, all these moves. You know, I am bringing in more money now than I've ever brought in from like an average month standpoint, but, you know, losing, you know, several million with a couple of big clients who jumped ship, you know, honestly at the exact wrong time possible, because some of them thought I was being too negative. And now, they're, you know, I'd rather be too negative and be right and save people than, you know, put a positive spin in everything. And now, you know, they probably listened to some other advisor who, you know, was probably putting them in the Facebook, Apple, Netflix, Googles. And now they're going to be negative because they're probably down, you know, 30-40% versus they could have been, you know, sitting pretty over here, you know, relatively speaking. But, you know, I do appreciate everyone that is watching this, but, you know, it was a big hit for me. So, you know, what I'd implore you guys to do, if you can go back and watch, you know, some of the different podcasts, especially episode 36, if you want to send it to a friend or an intro. And I know that I'm not for everybody, but, you know, everybody, and I'm certainly knows, you know, at least probably two or three people in their life that, you know, I'd probably be a good fit for, you know, ideally that they would have money for me to invest, ideally if they're close to retirement, you know, especially if they're in the Bitcoin. I mean, there's, you know, pretty much like a unicorn in that space for what we're trying to do. But I do just want to reiterate that we are not out of the woods by any means. We actually do know the days that the Fed is going to be selling all those different assets off their balance sheet, or letting them roll off their balance sheet. And so here's an article right here. You can see, you know, January 2nd, $18 billion of treasuries, January 16th, another $18 billion, February 6th. And so you see all these, you know, big days. I mean, February 20th, I mean, you've got $30 billion rolling off the balance sheet. I mean, that should be a lot of fireworks going on there. I mean, again, I can't really make predictions on this, but, you know, that's a massive, massive headwind to try and overcome. And yeah, there could be some sort of, you know, a Hail Mary play, but it's sort of like, you know, I can't tell you anything about, you know, any football teams or any basketball teams. I mean, a little bit about Syracuse basketball, not even so much, you know, these days. So, you know, it's sort of like, you know, like we're backed up at the 2-yard line and, you know, and then miraculously enough, we were throwing all these Hail Marys from 2008 until now. And, you know, eventually it's going to be, you know, fine until these Hail Marys start getting picked off. And also, you know, I think they call it what they call a pick six, where you intercept the ball and you run it back and score a touchdown. And so pretty soon there's gonna be some pick sixes going on. And I would say pretty soon, I mean, I think these are already starting to happen. And, you know, mathematically, there's no way the Fed can save the bond market, the stock market, and the dollar. This is something that I've been talking about for quite some time. And if I actually, you know, what I want to do now is spend, you know, a little bit of time. Actually, no, I'll finish up here. You know, the Federal Reserve also now has a negative net worth, because what happened is the value of their bonds and their balance sheet, when the interest rates went up, they decreased in value, meaning that they would now have a negative net worth. This was a question that I posed personally. Well, not I didn't pose it personally. I posed it to my congressman, who then posed it to Janet Yellen. And she told me that that was mathematically impossible. Well, now it's not even 2 years later, and boom, it happened. So maybe they should make me Fed chair, and I'll go and I'll just, you know, end it. Because, you know, how am I able to, you know, figure this out? You know, several, I mean, it was way more than 2 years ago I figured this out. But, you know, how was I able to say that this was going to definitely happen? And which, you know, as an advisor, I can't really say anything's definitely going to happen. But what was going on with the Fed's balance sheet? I knew that this was something that was for certain. And Janet Yellen, the most powerful person in the world, basically laughed off my question and said that it was impossible. But I mean, like an alien attack right now going on outside my house is technically possible. And she said my scenario was impossible. And yet now it's a scenario that actually happened, is occurring right now. And so when you own cash, I mean, you're owning a creditor of the central bank. It's a cash is a liability of these banks. And so right now, you know, if you hold cash, you've got a liability of a bankrupt central bank, which is not, you know, the best way to play it. So, you know, cash is good in these time periods, if you then have the willingness to then make it work for you when everybody is super, super stressed out and nobody wants anything to do with stocks. I mean, I remember like the Time Magazine article where it was somebody holding on to, you know, a string in, you know, March 2009. And usually it's when they roll out those articles, it's, you know, the best time to invest. And when they roll out the everything can never be better in the history of the world, then that's, you know, the time to usually, you know, trim things up. With our strategy, you know, it sort of takes the best of both worlds because, you know, I don't have a crystal ball. I don't know what the Fed's going to do. The Fed doesn't know what they're going to do. And if you go by what the Fed says they're going to do, they've been lying or slash wrong or cheerleading the entire 10 years. And I can, you know, go over all that, but, you know, that would take quite a bit of time. But what I want to do now is kind of, you know, pivot a little bit to some of these podcasts. And this is where, I have been putting these out more regularly because, you know, as things have started heating up over here, I thought that, you know, it was basically a fitting time to start pumping out more of these. But some of the ones that I had going on in the past, I'm trying to find it, is, I was on a radio show on the 20th. This is the guy who basically created the Ron Paul Revolution, Ernest Hancock. You know, very energetic host. You know, I'm sure some of you won't agree with some of the stuff he says. But anyways, on the 25th of January, which was, you know, 2 weeks before the volatility index blew up, people were betting. Wall Street's safest bet at the time, or sure thing bet, was to, you know, we're going to bet that there's going to be, that this record-breaking period of lull will continue. And I said, on record, this is the worst thing anyone could possibly do. 2 weeks later, some people lost all their money. So there's a lot of other good stuff in that episode as well. If you skip like the first like 20 minutes where it was more politics. Then I gave a talk at, or gave an interview at Anarchapoco with Ian Freeman. He was the first radio show host in America to ever interview the Bitcoin guys. And actually the last person I just mentioned, Ernest Hancock, was the second guy to interview all the Bitcoin guys. So it's, you know, you guys see some of the connections I have here. And in there I said, you know, I'm starting this podcast and I'm basically starting making these moves to document the ongoing financial collapse, is the word I used, phrase I used in there. And then I mentioned how the Fed cannot save the bond market, the stock market, and the the dollar. So the stock market, bond market, and the dollar. They can't save all three. They've got to pick one. And right now, I mean, if they want to save the stock market, well, then they've got to print all this money and lower the rates down, and that could then destroy the bond. So that could then destroy the dollar. And then, you know, convert. I mean, it's just an absolute mess. Over here I gave, you know, a market update to you guys. Government odds of financial success is zero. We've got moving forward, one on with my business partner on Ernie's show on self-directed IRAs. I mean, we got everything will be fine till the day it's not. I mean, a lot of these, I mean, you don't. And then I also found this was supposed to be an addendum, the perfect financial storm. It has to do with central banks, what they're doing. And what I didn't realize is that I never posted the real one. So I did find that the other day where it was dealing with market valuations on May 17th. So I need to post that one. That was meant to, or maybe it just went out to you guys, but didn't go on to the main one. This one was in August. Wall Street celebrates longest bull market rally ever, but is it? And potential black swan that could derail the rally. I mean, the name says everything in there, and everything that we talked about, you know, basically came to fruition just as Q. Episode 36, that one was 10 weeks ago. Put it out to you, just you guys. I released it 2 weeks later, just like this video right now. It's going to be released later on as a podcast. This one was, you know, right before the market. It was actually one day before the market started going down. So I guess I made some fake news on that one. But, you know, in any event, you know, that one is absolute gold. So, I mean, this is one that you'd want to send to friends. It was sort of done in the same vein this one was, where I didn't have, you know, a huge amount that I was, you know, necessarily preparing to talk about. Episode 37, is this the start of the bear market and how I'm managing clients' risk? I'd also recommend, you know, at least the clients who are listening to this to watch the first 10 minutes, because I get into a lot of client specific things and different questions you guys have. So if this is on the replay and it's to the general public, then skip the first 10 minutes. But anyways, I get into the put option strategies that we already talked about. So you don't probably need to listen to that part. Episode 38, record number of asset classes are negative for the year. Last time I checked, it was 93%. At this recording, I believe it was 89%. Got Jim Cramer is even sounding the alarm bells. And then if it has a CWA, actually now it's going to be CWE. So that's a crypto wealth edition of those podcasts. And I've got, you know, bear markets don't need excuses to crash. This was from about a month ago. Several other crypto related ones that you guys can send out to your friends. I also highly recommend episode 41. It's with economist John Sneason. Very, very sharp young guy. And when I say young, he's probably like a year or two older than me. And we've got the bonus December 23rd episode. That was a Facebook Live that I did, you know, several years ago on why the Fed is basically a predatory agency. And then I also then gave like kind of like an update like I'm doing right now, where I recap some of the other podcasts. So if you're listening to this and you don't have to listen to that, episode 42 gets in, I interview Ernie, but it gets into more of the decentralization effort. It's not a stock market one. But anyways, there is just a treasure trove of episodes in the past. It's starting to take off. It's really the first month that I've really started to, you know, somewhat, I'd say right half-ass promoting it right now, but you know, it's already doubled since last month. We're going to try to double again. The goal for next month is to have over 1,000 downloads on that. But again, I wasn't really, promoting it because I wanted to make sure that I actually knew, you know, how to kind of do these, and I had people in place to help me out and post them and all that sort of stuff. And I will at the beginning of this, or I guess in a few days, have found some help to be able to help me doing this. But since there is nobody on this call, let me check. I don't think anybody's on this. Yeah, since I'm here doing this by myself, I guess I won't be opening up to Q&A. But you know, one question I would have for people is to let me know what days and times would be the absolute best for you to do this. I hope you found it somewhat helpful. I mean, some of you probably just like to hear it. Some of you are probably like, hey, you know, that was way too long and I don't care and I just want to know if I'm good. But, you know, with those people, you know, they're probably not necessarily watching anyways. But anyways, hope everyone has a great start to the new year. Thank you for listening and I'll talk to you later. And just wanted to point out, I'm not sure about the booking. So if you go to thelibertyadvisor.com/client meeting, you can actually schedule either a annual review with me, or a client review with me, or you can schedule like a quick, hey, I've got a 15-minute phone call. We can do it by Zoom. If you don't want to use Zoom, let me know ahead of time. I'd rather do a phone call. We can do that as well. Or you can dial in to Zoom, and then that way we could tape it. I've got a record of it. But anyways, hope you guys have a great new year, and I'll talk to you later. Take care.